Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus had exited the temple for the last time. Looking back over the Kidron Valley at the magnificent structure, Jesus predicted its destruction to his disciples in the words of Matthew chapter 24. Today's gospel reading picks up with Jesus' continued words of prophecy and of preparation. 2 days from that moment, Jesus would celebrate the Passover feast with his disciples one last time. And he would institute a new covenant with his people, with his own body and blood in bread and wine. This would all take place somewhere within the city limits of Jerusalem. And before that Thursday night would end, Jesus would be arrested by a mob in the Garden of Gethsemane and then taken to the palace of the high priest. After meeting with Herod, puppet king, and then with Pilate, the Roman governor, Jesus would be standing before an energetic crowd early on Friday morning, with his sentencing being the biggest news for these Passover pilgrims. Pilate's reluctant verdict would mean crucifixion for Jesus. Jesus was confident that all of this was a part of God's plan for mankind's redemption from sin. And yet, being fully human, Jesus wrestled with the necessity of his upcoming suffering as he prayed drops of blood in the garden. But he never doubted his Father nor his will. Following his death and resurrection, Jesus would return to his Father's side, maintaining his identity as fully God and fully man. His work of redemption complete, Jesus reigns now from the right hand of the Father, awaiting the exact moment when the Father calls on him to return to this earth and to usher in the last day. On that day, the full reward for Christ's work of redemption will be revealed. Eternal life in God's great kingdom for all who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. As Jesus told his disciples at the end of today's gospel pericope, you do not know the day or the hour. But the certainty is there. The last day will come. Jesus will return. But you do not know when. Because he did not know and his disciples did not know, Jesus taught them to be ready. Matthew records a few of these teachable moments in this 25th chapter, beginning with this parable of the 10 virgins. These virgins are in position and waiting the arrival of the bridegroom as he enters into his house. The dark of night had set upon them, and they knew that the man of the hour would be coming at any time. But they did not know the exact moment. They need not know the exact moment of his arrival. They only need to be ready when he does arrive. 5 of these virgins brought extra oil for their lamps with them, knowing that the night could be long. 5 of the maidens did not. All 10 fell asleep, keeping watch, as the rigors of the late night had set in heavy upon them. Cries of "Wake, awake, for night is flying" hastily roused them from their slumber. The bridegroom was not yet there, but someone had seen him nearby. His arrival was imminent. There was no time to waste. All must be ready now. As they were preparing their lamps for the man's arrival, the five foolish virgins who did not bring extra oil requested some from the five wise virgins. Naturally so. But the five who were wise knew there would not be enough for them and for the foolish. So they refused. Left on their own, the five foolish virgins hurried to the vendors nearby to get more, hoping that they would not be too late. Meanwhile, the bridegroom did arrive. He entered into the wedding feast, and the five wise virgins went in with him, for they were ready. After the doors were shut and locked, the five foolish virgins got there too. They were not let in. They had the necessary oil. They were ready now. But it was too late. The cold response from the bridegroom to the five foolish maidens chilled the night air. Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. With these words, Jesus taught his disciples that there would indeed be a last day. Jesus would return, and he would do so quite suddenly, as a thief comes in the night. His disciples needed to be ready. The stark reality of this teaching is that the time of grace, the time of preparation, this time of Christ's reign here on earth through the gospel will not last forever. The door to God's kingdom will be closed. It will not be opened again. Some, like those in the book of Amos, eagerly long for this day to come. But the Lord strangely rebukes them, saying, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord! Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. As if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies." In their sinful pride, the Judeans gathered around Amos believed that the day of the Lord would be a great and glorious day for them, for they were God's chosen people, after all, by their own blood, ancestors, descendants of Abraham. For only blessings, wonderful, could come forth for the chosen ones. So they firmly took comfort in themselves. Their faith was not in the Lord, as was evidenced by their wicked behavior recorded elsewhere in Amos. Sure, they would do the rituals God had ordained, but without true faith in their Savior. They went through the motions. We too often wish for the last day to come quickly, even as St. John prays in his book of the Revelation. Is our confidence for the Lord's return on the last day based on ourselves, on our views of how we are doing as Christians? We are good people, right in heart, and ready for Christ's return, taking comfort in ourselves. If so, then God's woes to the people through Amos are dealt squarely to us as well. For if the main focus of the return of Christ is so that suffering here on earth can end, and that we can finally enjoy paradise, the blessed, then woe to us. We are not ready. Amos's words should cause you to examine yourself. Am I ready for Christ's return? Is my confidence in my readiness because of me, because of who I am? Am I ready to die? How did the disciples to whom Jesus was directly speaking in Matthew 25, how did they get ready? To be clear, Jesus does not clearly identify the meanings of all the words from his parable. But we do know that this is a kingdom of heaven parable. And that means that it is centered in the gospel, the saving work of Jesus, who has ushered in the kingdom of God in the here and the now through his own presence, through his own work of ministry, of healing the sick, of raising the dead, and by forgiving the sins of all. For the disciples, these words on that night would first hit their ears as though water was trying to penetrate through a concrete wall. But events of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, and finally his gifting of the Holy Spirit would change it all for those men. Jesus' work of redemption on the cross is what made the disciples ready for Jesus' return, the beginning of life forever in his kingdom. It is easy for us to get all caught up in the hoopla of the great last day. Many unnecessarily busy themselves by watching all of the events going on in the world and allow the struggles, especially in the Middle East, to heighten their eagerness for the Lord's return. And it is easy to get wrapped up in trying to figure out just when exactly the Lord will return. Jesus gives his words to his disciples for a great reason. Such things are not for them to worry about, for they do not know the hour nor the day of the end. But they do know the one who will come at the end. And that is the most important thing. That is what makes you and me ready. Christ, his work of redemption. His calling of you and me, baptism into his name, reception of the Lord's Supper, his work of giving you forgiveness, life, and salvation makes you ready in him. And he will raise you up on that last day with himself to be with him forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ.